Amen. I promised I would not adjust the stand this time and break your equipment here. I was here a couple weeks ago, Katie Reinhardt. I'm from North Star Church. Been on staff there for about 9 years, and so grateful again to come back and teach with you guys here today. Okay, so we're gonna open here with a little guessing game, okay? Everyone up for this? I need some feedback here. So I want you guys to guess the secret sauce. So I'm going to give you guys some ingredients, and you have to guess which, like, big restaurant company chain has this, okay? So first one, mayo, sweet relish, yellow mustard, vinegar, garlic powder, onion powder, and paprika. Anyone else? That's a good, great guess. What is it? McDonald's. It's their Big Mac sauce, yes. All right, next one. As this company tweeted in 2012, the secret sauce is just a mixture of honey mustard, barbecue sauce, and ranch dressing. Chick-fil-A sauce. You nailed it. Yep, exactly. That's the one, yes. Okay, third one. This chain adorned their burgers, I'm getting a little more challenging here, with something that they simply called the spread for over 6 decades. But this formula, long thought to be a variation of Thousand Island dressing, became just that. A combination of ketchup, mustard, and relish. Who is it? I'll give you a clue. If you go to the West Coast, you'll find this more. So close. Yes, In-N-Out Burger. Good job. In-N-Out Burger. Basically just Thousand Island dressing. All right, one more. The narrowly regarded relish can be easily copied with ketchup, garlic powder, and Tabasco. Any thoughts? Oh, nice! I am really impressed. Good job, guys. So clearly, it's hard to keep a secret because with my minimal little work here, I was able to find the secret sauce recipes of these things. And clearly, when something is a secret, it's worth trying to copy. There's tons of copycat recipes. My favorite is the P.F. Chang lettuce wraps. Those are so good. But there's like all these social media influencers that their job is to copycat recipes or looks or designs. And so seeing this, it just kind of made me wonder, what is another recipe per se that would be worth copying, that would be worth figuring out? So I think, you know, like it's seeing in the midst of our culture, we are in a culture right now that has increasing squeezes, it has increasing pressures, blurred lines. I think of like the beginning of Isaiah where he talks about good is seen as wrong, and somehow wrong is being like accepted and like praised. I feel like we're in a time that feels similar to that. I think that we are in a time, again, where things are being refined. I feel like things are feeling divisive, but also there's a chance to be in the kingdom of darkness or in the kingdom of light. So it made me wonder, is it possible that we as believers could somehow be, as a culture, as a society, be reformed into the people that we need to be for the Lord's returning, for the Lord's coming back, to be what he calls his beloved bride, his spotless bride? Can we be a people who do this? And I believe he's really putting his hand on people here in the States and all across the nations. There are little revivals going on. There's big revivals going on and individual revivals going on. And so I hope that we would be marked in a time where we can see revival both in the church and that we can see a reforming of our society. We see this happen a number of times, but I feel like Nehemiah, that's the book that we're in now, it seems like Nehemiah is one of the prime examples of someone doing just that. So if there is a secret sauce recipe I could unpack today, this morning, it would be just that: biblical reformation, biblical reforming of a culture, of a society, into the people that we were designed to be. So we're gonna jump right into that. So let me pray here first, and then we'll open into chapter 8. So Holy Spirit, I love the songs that the worship team picked this morning, because this is what you have put on my heart to share. And so Father God, we pray that you would reveal to us We pray that this would not just be information coming in, Father God, but this would be going deep into our hearts and going into practice. Lord, if these things aren't going into practice, then it's just not gonna, it's not gonna take root. And so, Father God, go before us, clear us of distractions, and just bring into focus, Lord, what you are, what you have prepared for us to do. There's anything I've prepared, Lord, that's not of you, flush it right now in Jesus' name and allow everyone to come and hear purely from you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're in this series called Uprooted. Last week you heard about Nehemiah 1 in the chapters since then. And again, Bel was the one who led a group. We've met a couple different key characters. Zerubbabel was the one who led a group back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. That was his main focus. Ezra came back to teach the word, to teach the Torah. And then now we see Nehemiah coming back to rebuild the walls and the gates. The walls and the gates of this city were the security of this city. And so without the security, they would by nature continue to be invaded. So under his leadership, it took 52 days. That feels tangible to me. It took 52 days to actually complete the rebuilding of that wall. So if you do have your Bible, open it to Nehemiah 8 with me here. When he came to Jerusalem, he found more than just broken lives. He found a broken society. He found a broken culture. Probably, again, some things that we can identify with here today. Blurred lines, increasing pressures, securities that are feeling a little less secure. And so he called Ezra in to come and teach the word, to refocus, to redeclare, this is who we are and this is what our aim is. They are, as you guys have learned, an uprooted people. They've been pulled and pulled into exile, and now they're coming back to their place. I don't know if there's any gardeners out there, but I think of like when a plant gets pulled. You can get some of these new little roots to come out, but they're tender at first, and they have to relearn how to seek the water and seek the soil, seek the light, so that they're going to start churning of the roots going. Nehemiah 7:73, it's a long chapter, and then we're going to read through 8:1. It says, when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So as I was reading this, one of the first things that popped in my mind is that it was all the people. And this really truly had to be like a supernatural act of the Lord. You think of all the things that were essential for them to be putting their time and energy towards, or the things that they just preferred to put their time and energy towards. But we see that all the people came together to hear the word. That's actually really beautiful. Actually, even within those first dozen verses, we see a dozen times all the people. We see it in verse 1, all the people gathered together. Verse 3 says, all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Verse 5, Ezra opened the book on the sight of all the people, standing above all the people, and all the people stood up. Last one here that I'll mention, verse 6, it says, all the people answered, and they all said, amen, amen. It's so amazing. And again, fast forwarding to our culture now, I think that we're living in an over-busy, overstuffed schedule. I think we find value in being busy. How's our summers going? It was busy. How's the school year going? It's really busy. I feel like that's such a tagline word that we go to, that I wonder if the Lord actually is saying, but are there other things that I can pull you into, even if that's stillness and silence with him? I'm at North Star, I'm over the women's ministry and connecting with people even at the beginning of the summer, even in the midst of the summer. How's your group going? These small groups. Well, we can't get together. We all have different schedules. It takes months for us because we're so busy to even schedule a time for a whole small group to get together often. I wonder if part of this reforming of the society of these Jewish people, it was a rebuilding of the foundation. They all had to hear the law together, but they were learning how to get their roots to grow in unison deep down together. So from what I can see, the first ingredient we have in our secret sauce here of Reformation is to be willing to skip what is good for what is kingdom. And I want to give the disclaimer that as we are attentive to the Spirit, because again, I think that this was a supernatural act of the Spirit to pull everyone together, it doesn't always make sense. My mind doesn't always think like the Lord's mind. And so sometimes when I get these little promptings from the Lord, I think probably maybe like 10, 15 years ago when I would hear people say, I heard the Lord say this, and so I did it. I think I imagine that they heard this big audible voice from the Lord, and some do. Some hear it as inside of us, and so it's the same Katie inside language, the same voice that my own thoughts are inside my head that I see or I perceive the Spirit speaking to me. I was asking the Lord for an example in this, and I remember a couple years ago, my mom and I went to a coffee shop, and there was a girl in front of me, and she just kept catching my attention. You know, like when someone just kind of glimmers, like you're at Kroger, and you're walking, and someone just, out of all the hundreds of people, someone just keeps catching your attention, and you just don't know why. And so I asked the Lord, why does this girl keep catching my attention? And this quick, fleeting little thought said, buy her coffee. And I was like, I don't want to be weird. I don't want to do that, you know? What if she says no? What if? And so I just said, okay, I'll do it, you know? And so I said, hey, this is so random, but I'm trying to, like, practice hearing from God, and I feel like he's saying to buy your coffee. Anyway, I could just bless you and do that. And she just put her purse down and almost had this deep breath, and, oh, you wouldn't believe the season that I'm in. She was walking through a divorce. She had a young kiddo. Just as she started unpacking all of this stuff. And this simple act of me buying her coffee led into then a conversation about our church. She was actually had already been looking at this prophetic prayer communion that we have. She came to that. She now helps us on our worship team. Not because of me, but because of the Lord's working through this. So sometimes leading and leaning on the supernatural acts of the Lord can be such simple little things. And so it's just a beautiful way to partner with the Lord is paying attention to that still small voice and acting in obedience towards it. So there's our first ingredient. Second ingredient we're going to find in Nehemiah 8:2-5. So let's read that. Disclaimer here, there are a lot of Jewish words, or not words, names that I practiced and did not nail. So I might skip over those. If someone else has the gifting of reading these names, I will gladly have you do it. Okay, so we're starting in verse 2. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak until noon, as they faced the square before the water break, in the presence of men and the women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on the right were all these wonderful people, and on his left as well. Ezra opened the book. All the people, could see him because he was standing there before him, and he opened it. The people all stood up. So this was 6 hours of the reading of Torah. Torah, again, is the first 5 books of the Bible. It's the Pentateuch, also known as that. This people had been, again, uprooted. They'd been pulled into exile at least for a generation, if not more. And then now they're coming back, and they don't know who they are. It's like being adopted into a family, and then the parents sitting down with you and saying, this is who we are, this is who your grandparents are, and this is what we're about, and these are the Reinhardt traditions, and this is what we are about. So they learned about creation, God's first promise of a rescuer. They learned how he would go to extreme lengths, even a flood, a devastating flood, to come back to a reformed, pure people. They learned about the Abrahamic covenant, the provisions of his people through a famine, and the rescue of his people through a slavery, the Mosaic covenant, his courtship with his people through the 40 years in the desert, these creative miracles, and the 613 laws. This would have been their way of relearning who am I and what was I made to do and who am I following. I think, again, today, if we fast forward and bring this into our society today, I think we're living, honestly, in such a overstimulated and distracted culture that I wonder how much We are missing the meat of what the Lord has for us at the cost of the you know, it's the protein versus the fat. It's the meat versus the extra stuff, you know, that we can put in there. I don't love mornings. If I could sleep in, I can't sleep in anymore because of my sweet little kids. But if I could, I would. But I know that if I am able to get up before them and listen and read the word and pray it back to him and have those encounters with him, then I know that my day is most likely going to go a lot better, more beautifully and calm. Not that it always does. But even in those moments, it's so easy to get distracted. And sometimes I forget that our phones actually have a do not disturb button. Do we all know that? And do we all know that our phones actually shut off? We're allowed to, like, fully shut them off and be unattached to them. I think that we are too easily satisfied with the little when the Lord has significance for us. And so within these couple verses, I think our second ingredient and for is an unquenchable hunger for the word and for encounters with him. We have to be hungry for that. Again, I think it's like going to the grocery store when you are literally hungry and you are getting all the like little Debbies and all the junk that you're seeing that just looks good. He is telling us, no, sit with me, be still with me, be silent with me. Let me speak to you. Bring your thoughts and your whatever is spinning in here, bring those to me and be hung in. All right, let's keep reading. Nehemiah 8:6 says, Ezra praised, he blessed the Lord. This is just upon even opening the scrolls, doing it like they have books then. They were scrolls then. Ezra praised and blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands in response and said, Amen, amen. Then they bowed and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. I think of the song, let our praise be your anthem. Our anthem, you can correct me on that. But that our praises are our response to him. So even in this one verse, I see three different responses. I see when the word is opened, I see Ezra immediately blessing the Lord, hallowing his name. I love that our Father, that prayer starts with that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We should get stuck on that way more than we go down to our list of the supplications, the asks in our prayer life. There's a chance, an offering for us to just, he's calling us to name. He ministers to us, and I think he wants to minister to us, but I think he's calling us to minister to him too. The second response here is with the people's words. They say, amen, amen. They say, I believe, yes. They're starting with an amen. They're saying, I believe before they're even going into what the Lord is going to say because they're so confident with what the Lord's going to say. And the third response here is a response of their body, their physical being. We're body and soul and spirit. We're seeing a three times in my mind response to the Lord. We see their hands lifted high. The other times in my mind, I can think that we have our hands lifted high. I think of a police officer arresting someone and they say, hands up. Why? It's a sign of what? Surrender. It's a sign of surrender. They're saying, I'm giving you the control in this situation. Another time we see hands up. My son did it this morning. When kiddos want or need their parents, they lift their hands up. It's beautiful. The other time, I think of when you're at King's Island and you're like going up on the ride and you're like, I put my trust in this little crazy belt. I think I'm trusting this thing. I'm going to put my mind somewhere else. But it's joy and it's trust. And so I think like when we are worshiping, there's an opportunity. I think in the Western world, we are conditioned to worship like this. And don't let anyone really, I'm not a good singer, but don't let anyone hear me. You know, that's, I wonder if the Lord is inviting us towards this, towards surrender, towards want and need, and towards joy and trust. This is the second of I need you. Yeah, beautiful there. And then the second physical posture we see is face to the earth. Have you ever, in your time alone with the Lord, or even here publicly, corporately, just found yourself, and this doesn't feel worthy, this doesn't feel worthy. I've gotten face down on the floor in our church before, because there's, again, this holy awe and reverence of, I can't do it on my own. I need to just submit to you, and this is all I know what to do, right? Comes with that face down worship. So I think here is our third ingredient, making the word of God and worship the focus of our gatherings, responding body and soul and spirit. And I just want to give extra props to to Craig and the worship team that comes up here every single Sunday. They are praying for you throughout the week. They are leading you. I think of when the Ark of the Covenant was carried. What did David do in front of them? He danced crazy. He was using his body to dance and worship the Lord as the presence was coming. And that's what Craig and the worship team are doing here. They are worshiping in God's presence. So be blessed. We are fully blessed by them. But even in your cars, in your homes, there are prayer room sets. This is like one of the saving graces in our home. We have there are a couple churches that have beautiful prayer room sets. I'll put them on. Just let them be background noise. Let my kids be hearing that. Put them in the car. It creates an environment where the Holy Spirit is welcome, and our attention is being pulled back to Him. So we have to make the word and worship the focus of our gatherings. All right, let's keep reading. Nehemiah 7 through 9. Again, lots of names here. I will pass over them. The Levites, instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people would understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they were hearing the words of the Lord." Again, this is a physical response of hearing the word. They were, I think we're numb to the word, if I'm honest. I feel like we can read the word, we can put it on the background and let it just be background. I think we can be really numb to it, but this, as they were hearing their Lord, hearing the character of God and hearing their story, they were weeping. But he was saying, no, this is a good day, this is a holy day unto the Lord. So here we see the teaching team come. They all had an opportunity to teach on what was being read. A beautiful modeling of the shepherding of those people there. And it makes me think of 2 Timothy 3:16, where it says, all scripture has been breathed out by God, Torah included. All scripture has been breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? The next verse says, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. This is critical. The word of God gives us correct doctrine. Reproof reveals where our practices are wrong. There's a tenderizing that happens. Correction happens. It reveals areas that we still need to be sanctified in. Again, there needs to be a humility. This is a discipleship into becoming more like the image of God. And why? I think honestly because Jesus is coming again and he's saying, I need an army of people. I need an army of worshipers. I need a people in my kingdom who are ready to bring in what I'm bringing in. I need an army of people. The world will try to define you, and the world probably is defining us, but we have to take it all the way back to the word. That is our plumb line. That is the one thing that always must and will define us. So here the fourth ingredient is leaning into God's word. It's leaning into him and his Holy Spirit to invite conviction that leads to confession, repentance, restoration, and celebration from your freedom of sin. This is a whole process that the Lord wants to take us through and does take us through. And I think this is our fourth ingredient, leaning into his word. All right, next couple verses, 8 through 10, says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the Lord your God is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of their food, and to celebrate with great joy, because now they understood the words that had been made known to them. You guys get to do this every Sunday. The words are being made known to you every Sunday and every single day when you're coming to the Lord. Ezra reads these words. The teachers are explaining it. The Levites are. And the people are now have a chance to apply it to our lives. They're being responsive to it. That word here, even in the Shema back in Deuteronomy, that word here isn't what we just think of as like, I hear some background noise. It's actually a linking of listening and obeying. So the language we use at our house, we say, Reinhards obey all the way, right? Listening, the hearing that they obeying at the same time. And so that's the kind of listening, the hearing that they did. Next couple verses, starting in 13, says, on the second day of the month, the heads of the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered around Ezra, the teacher, to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. That's the festival of the bounds and that was coming up. And that they should proclaim this word and spread it throughout the towns and in Jerusalem. Go out into the hill country and bring back branches from olive and the wild olive trees and from myrtle and palms and shade trees to make temporary shelters as it is written. Ezra knew his word, obviously. He was a man of the word, a teacher of the word, but he was now giving them a chance to apply the word, which again, I think is a beautiful part of discipleship, a beautiful part of that. And so this would have been around like the September month right now. And so they're in this season, this festival of the booths. And so it's an automatic time for them to say, this is what we're reading in the Torah. Now this is how we apply it. This is where we are going to jump right in here. So I do want to encourage you, as you're reading the word, as the Lord has even highlighted things for you to pay attention to or to take notice of, be a responder of the word. All right, so this last ingredient that we're going to see here is in these last couple verses, starting in 16 again, lots of reading through this chapter here. Verse 16 says, so the people went out and brought back those branches and built themselves temporary shelters on their own roofs and in the courtyards, in the courts of the house of God, and in the square by the water gate, and the one by the gate of Ephraim. The whole company, they had returned from exile, built temporary shelters, and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated like this, and their joy was very great. Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the Bible, from the book of the law. They celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the eighth day, in accordance with the regulations, there was an assembly. So again, this last ingredient here, this fifth ingredient, is to commit yourself to holistic, biblical living. As much as I can encourage you, refuse ungodly alliances or partnerships and uphold those godly values that we are reading about through all of this. So in closing here, we have these five ingredients, and I really do feel like as we are attentive to these five different aspects, there can be a reforming of a culture. It starts little. Most of what we see in the Bible is grassroots. It's one person, then the three, then the 12, then the 70, then it starts with just the one. So even as school is starting in the next month, I bet there's teachers in here. I bet there are, lots of parents in here too. There's a chance, people that you're interacting with, think of the people to make a beautiful impact, a reforming of the people that you're interacting with. Think of the people that you live with and work with and play with. Even going back to this reforming of the rerouting of these people. I want you to grab those connect cards on the back of your seats here. And again, just like Craig had mentioned at the beginning, there are always next steps. If you are here today, we would love to. If any of this feels like new information and you want to process more, this is a great place to put it. We would love to reach out to you. We would love to pray for you. If you have not yet come to know the Lord and received him as your personal Savior, I would love to pray that with you. I know there are other prayer teams up here that will love to pray that with you as well. So if that's something new, it is a surrender. It's that posture of saying, I need you, I want you, I release what I have and what I offer, and I accept this all, is to know the word, let it saturate deep into our hearts. There's a difference of taking an uprooted plant and dipping it in water versus saturating it in water. I have this silly basil plant, and I keep, like, it keeps like looking like this, you know, and so I keep like dumping water on it, and it like kind of overflows. And so I've learned, actually, I'm pouring water in the dish under it, and it's drinking it up, and it's healthy. And I think that's what the word should be like in our lives. So let's read our memory verse here together. It's Jeremiah 29:11. Here we go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Let this be something, yes, amen. Let this be something that is not just going to cerebral, but is going to heart. You're receiving it at that heart sweet level. And our third next step, I wonder if you think through those five ingredients. If you didn't have a chance to write them down or take a picture of that, you can come back up afterwards and I can tell them to you. We can put that screen back up if that's helpful too. But a third next step, what is the Lord inviting you into? Maybe one of those five. We're leading into worship here again. I wonder if we can transition from worshiping like this, maybe to like this, or maybe to like this. It's not a formula, and there's absolutely no formula to it. But what is the Lord asking your body to say in response to worshiping him? And again, the fourth next step here is prayer. Prayer is the meat that we have to be investing in. And so you can write prayer requests on your Connect card and drop them in the box. You can post them on the wall, or you can come up, ideally, come up with a prayer team. We love prayer. We would love to pray with you. So let me just pray for us as we transition back into worship here now. And come and receive prayer. Holy Spirit, come. Always, always, Holy Spirit, come. I'm just seeing that silly basil plant at my house. And Lord, just would your worship, as we're re-entering into worship, would that be water saturating our roots, Lord? Creating healthy roots, Lord. Creating our roots to go deep and wide. They go deep and wide because they're actually reaching for living water. And you, Father God, are the living water. I love that they were even at the water gate here in Nehemiah 8. Lord, let your water come and refresh us. Let us be hungry for your word, Lord Jesus. Let us be knowers of your word and now practicers of your way. Just pray for blessing over each of us right now. In Jesus' name.